reality, and it's not all that bad. As a matter of fact, to be honest with you, I don't mind dying. I'd just like to die quickly so I wouldn't suffer and my carnal man wouldn't have to go through all that. But death's not a real problem to me anymore. It used to be when I was younger. It used to be when I didn't know the scriptures all that well. And I'm not claiming to know them extremely well now, but I know them well enough to know that they're true. So death is something that I don't dread or particularly fear anymore. Well, why have I said all that? You heard me mention, make the expression, comment, make your life count for something. Well, that's the most important thing a child of God has to think about. Well, that's the greatest performance that a child of God is responsible to God for after they know Him as Savior. And so, regardless of whether you fear death or whether you're willing to accept it or what your personal feelings are about it, you ought to be doing everything you can to make your life count for something. Well, what's that got to do with blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth? He was speaking to the first New Testament church when he gave those Beatitudes. And those Beatitudes are, if you will, attitudes that every one of us ought to develop as we grow older. And if you don't develop them, when you stand before Jesus Christ, you're going to answer for it. I spend a great deal of time dealing with definitions. Definitions in the context of Scripture. Because you're going to be judged if you're a child of God, and I'm going to be judged by the words that He spoke. So this morning I talked about blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I talked about it at length. And I tried as diligently as I knew how to define what this word meek meant. Because the more personality change, the better control you have of your carnal nature, and the meeker you are when Jesus comes, the better off you're going to be. And this morning, I put this on the screen. I went through a lot of different lexicons. I went through a lot of scripture, examining the lives of men that were meek. And this is what I came up with. This is very important to me. Right now, I'm standing here preaching and teaching. I've done that here for 20 years. But when Jesus comes, if my life does not measure up and I do not possess this quality of meekness, it will almost be like this was all wasted, at least as far as my personal reward or inheritance in heaven is concerned. And I think that's going to be true for all of us. So with these things that Jesus taught about the Beatitudes, I think they're things that we ought to pay very careful attention to. The word meek, as used in several areas of the Bible, is difficult to portray at best. It does not mean, in most cases, a wimp. As a matter of fact, in Scripture, it never does. It does in Webster's Dictionary, but not in Scripture. On the other hand, someone with a high self-esteem or great confidence in their ability to accomplish whatever task assigned them, it's just the opposite of what the word means in most cases. Self-confident people who have a high self-esteem, and people who think they're just a little bit smarter than the average bear, and just a little better at doing things, they really feel they can get in there and do a better job than someone else. It's very hard for them to be meek. Because instead of trying to be subject to a higher authority, and realizing that the power of all things that are accomplished that are acceptable to God must be done by His power, and that we will be judged by our attitude of why we did what we did, that person has a very hard time ever being meek. On the other hand, someone with a high self-esteem or great confidence in their ability to accomplish whatever task assigned them is just the opposite of what the word means in most cases. A meek person is one who has great confidence in the ability of a higher authority, and because of this confidence is always willing to obey the advice or instructions of that authority. Jesus was the meekest man who ever lived. That fits him perfectly. Over and over he said, I can of mine own self do nothing. It is the Father that doeth the works. Over and over again, the Apostle Paul keeps making the same point in so many different ways. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I doubt if any man was ever more talented than the man Christ Jesus. And yet he was a man whose confidence was in the higher authority, and he was always willing to obey the advice or instructions of that authority. A meek person is one who recognizes and accepts his ineptitude. He doesn't look upon himself as being super efficient. He doesn't look upon himself as being super administrative. He doesn't look upon himself as being a highly organized preacher. He doesn't look upon himself as being a great servant of God. He doesn't look upon himself as being special to God. He's someone who simply realizes his ineptitude, that without the power of God, he's nothing. The same applies, of course, to both sexes. Therefore, being more than willing to be in submission to the higher power that does what he cannot do himself. True meekness or humility, and the two words are interlaced, only comes to those who face the reality of what they are without the power of their God. Some of those miserable people on this earth are people who have high self-esteem. They have tremendous confidence in their own abilities, and they are absolutely miserable because they spend 90% of their time judging all those other people who don't come up to their level or their standard. Now, I'm going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ as to whether or not I'm meek. So I want to know what meekness is, and I want to understand it, because those are the attributes of Christ, and they're the attributes that I'm supposed to, by controlling my carnal nature, let the Lord deal with my soul, so that when he comes, I'll be meeker than I was when I was saved. True meekness is knowing the source of your power is not in yourself, and understanding this, never misusing or abusing it. Meekness is a very difficult quality to describe. And to be honest with you, it's so difficult that most people who want to go on being whatever they are can twist it around to make it say whatever they want to say. It's a very difficult word to preach about. This morning I went through the first sheet of my message, and tonight I'm only going to talk briefly about Moses and about Christ before I go on to the second sheet, because Moses was identified as the meekest man on the earth in the Old Testament during his lifetime, and Christ was certainly the meekest man who ever lived. The major attribute of meekness is someone who has such confidence in a higher authority that he or she willingly, with forethought and intent, of their own free will and volition, put themselves under that higher authority because they respect the wisdom of that higher authority, they respect the justice of that higher authority, they respect the ability of that higher authority, they respect the power of that higher authority, and they look upon that higher authority and they say, in all areas, I am so inept by comparison that I would be a fool to try and work this all out myself and to try to help God. Many times we don't realize it, but instead of working for God, we run around in circles, never learning to wait on God. This morning in Psalm 37, verses 9 through 11, I pointed out, as it often is the case in double Hebrew statements, it pointed out what a meek person was. But the meek shall inherit the earth, verse 11. Just above it, it shows you what a meek person is like. But those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Those that wait on him, those that serve him, those that have confidence in him, those are the people that are meek, because they have put themselves willingly into subjection to the Lord. Now, a little while later on, I'm going to talk about this one statement over and over again, probably. Psalm 147:6. The Lord lifteth up the meek. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. That's a principle that God has always employed. And the Lord lifts up meek people, but he puts down people that are wicked. And pride in a child of God, and tremendous self-confidence and self-esteem in a child of God, is one of the most horrible attributes that a child of God can have, because it makes them blind, absolutely blind, to themselves. And they wonder why nobody likes them. They wonder why They have friends for a while, then they don't have any friends. And the problem is, they have tremendous self-esteem. They have tremendous confidence in themselves, and they always consider themselves just a little bit more apt in handling a given situation. Moses wasn't like that. Moses was a man who, when he came before God, said he couldn't speak. So God gave him Aaron as his spokesman. Moses was a man who was afraid to go back to the people. And the Lord had to say, tell them, I am hath sent thee. But Moses came to be a man who recognized the source of his power. Moses had tremendous abilities. But Moses never looked upon himself as having those abilities. He never thought highly of himself. But he thought very highly of God. There never has been a man who ever lived that thought more highly of the Father than the Son, Christ Jesus. And there never has been a meeker man. So this morning, I close by talking about Matthew 24, 4 and 5, and 11, 28, 29. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and setting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. Jesus Christ could have called down myriads of angels. But when James and John came to him, wanting the power to bring down fire on people who would not follow the teachings or commands of God, Jesus says, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are. The Spirit of God that indwelt Christ in all of God's fullness was the Spirit who led that man. And that man, Christ Jesus, was in constant submission to the Father because he respected the power and the wisdom and the judgment and the justice of the Father. He believed that the Father knew what he was doing in all situations, and he trusted the counsel and the writings and the word of the Father. Whenever he was asked a question, he would always quote what his father had written. He was a man who was meek in the sense that he did not misuse the power that he had because he recognized the power was not his. I don't believe that Jesus, as a man, had a high opinion of himself. And if any man who ever lived by human standards should have had a high opinion as we look at men, he should have. But he didn't. He was the greatest man who ever lived. This principle has always been employed by God. The Lord lifteth up the meek. Sometimes people will wonder, why does there never seem to be any success in my life in doing what God wants? Why do I seem to be rebuked at every corner? Why do things never seem to go right? The problem may well be a lack of meekness and a constant judgmental attitude toward other people because they don't quite come up to your standard. We are to judge people by God's word, not by our own personal opinion. So continuing on this second scripture and remembering the definition for meekness, I'm going to begin with Matthew 11:29. Meekness is literally a faithfulness, a submission to a higher authority because you have complete confidence, respect, trust in the abilities of that higher authority. It is taking upon you a submissive role in the work and power of God's Spirit. Now, in Matthew 11:29, he says, take my yoke. Now, I know that the next verse says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We make the yoke heavy. We make the burden light. What did God say in the Old Testament? They that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Then in the double Hebrew statement, he tells you who these people are. They're meek people. First, Jesus says, put yourself in submission to me. You don't have to have a great deal of talent in God's work. You don't have to be an excellent public speaker. You don't have to have a college education. You don't have to be highly trained. You don't have to be a professional. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be greatly achieved in the realms of human endeavor. You don't have to have a great reputation. You want to be successful in God's work? It only requires this, a willingness to put yourself in submission to God, particularly in this case, the Son of God, who spoke these words. He says, take my yoke upon you. A meek person is a person that has tremendous respect and confidence in a higher authority, and he bows himself before that higher authority in submission out of respect and confidence. Jesus says to everyone who has received him as Savior, take my yoke upon you. Then when you have taken that yoke of responsibility upon you and have put yourself in submission to the Son of God, that's the very first step in meekness. And that's the only thing that God can use to teach you what you are and what you aren't. We spend most of our time judging what others are and aren't, rather than passing judgment on ourselves. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now, I can't prove this, and I don't necessarily believe that that is exactly what Christ had in mind when he said this. But I know that after you get saved, God wants you to follow him in scriptural baptism. And when you enter into those waters, this is an act of submission to God. There are lots of people that say, I don't understand why so-and-so has never submitted to baptism. Well, I can't specifically answer each question, and I don't intend to imply that I can. But maybe people don't submit because they don't have the characteristic of meekness, and they're not willing to put themselves into a higher authority. When you unite with one of God's local New Testament churches, it is a voluntary move on your part to put yourself in subjection to Christ, and the body of Christ is the church, and to put yourself in submission to the church. And when you do this in church capacity, I will always contend the third part of the Great Commission is the most important. Some preachers will argue the cows come home, but they're equally important. Maybe they're right, but I don't think so. I think the most important thing in God's church is the third part, because it's the first two parts that put them in. And somebody should say, well, I'll tell you what, brother, if you don't carry out the first two, you can't carry out the third. But after the third, after the first two have been carried out, and they're members of the church through baptism, then it comes to a point where they're supposed to learn who they are, what they are, and how they need to change by the power of Christ. Every one of you sitting here, without exception, need to learn to be meeker than you are. And the speaker needs to learn to be meeker than he is. And that's the way that we do it through God's Word. Here's the only perfect man who ever lived. He said, and learn of me. The word of, I believe, is epi. It means from me, but it doesn't matter whether it's from me or of me. He says, for I am meek. Here's a man, the living Son of God, the Son of God and the Son of Man, and the man Christ Jesus put himself in complete submission to the Father. He said, I can of mine own self do nothing. He wasn't always trying to help his Father as a man. He wasn't always trying to come up with ideas and plans of his own. He followed the Old Testament teachings of his Father, led by the Spirit of his Father. In him dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but make no mistake about it, he was a perfect man, and he was also God. He was a man who was meek. He put himself into subjection to a higher authority, and he was lowly in heart. If myself and every other church member in the Lord's churches would be concentrating on becoming meek and lowering their own opinion of their own personal talents and abilities to add to or help God's service, and would simply be committed and be faithful and be willing to do whatever it was that God's Spirit directed through the church, we wouldn't have all these problems that we have. We have added so much to God's ideas, and when we add to God's ideas, they corrupt, not God's ideas, but they corrupt the pattern that God had in mind. He said, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I've seen people that work so hard for Jesus, Oh, they work so hard. I've seen preachers. I've seen teachers. I've seen people that just run around in circles working hard for Jesus. But they never find any internal rest in their soul. Why? Because they have such great self-esteem in their own ability to accomplish. They have such confidence in their own abilities that instead of doing what they're supposed to do, doing what God's Spirit leads them to do, with the understanding, I'm just going to do it the best I can, and the Lord's going to have to take care of the rest, they never find any rest into your souls. Now, when I leave here tonight, as bad as I feel, I will go right back to that house, Lord willing, if I don't die of a heart attack between now and then, and I will lay down, and I won't spend 2 hours analyzing whether or not I preach the truth. Because I have studied, I have worked, I have tried, I have prayed to do what God wants. Whether I fail or whether I succeed personally is of no consequence or of no importance. I have done the best I know how by the leadership of God's Spirit to present this to you, and whether you accept it or reject it, like it, don't like it, criticize it, malign it, love it, pat it, however you treat it, I'm not going to be concerned about it. Why? Because I have learned that the power and authority is not in me. It's in God. And it's in His Word, by His Spirit. And as long as I'm willing to simply be used and preach and teach God's Word, God's going to take care of the rest. And I have found rest in my soul. I don't sit around and critique myself as to whether or not I did well or didn't do well, whether I succeeded or didn't succeed, whether I could have done this better or that worse. I don't critique myself. I don't have time. I just trust in the power of God. I have confidence in God, and it's a learned activity. I watch so many people work so very hard to please God, and they never seem to be satisfied that they've done enough. I'm never satisfied that I've done enough, but I am happy internally that I'm being used of God, and I can't do anything more that I'm aware of to find any more rest than I already have, so I'm satisfied with it. I want you to take a look at Philippians 2, 8 through 11. Now, Jesus spoke those words that you see in Matthew 11, 28 and 29. To the first New Testament church. He loved them. He cared for them. And He cares for every one of you, especially those of you in a special way who have taken the yoke of responsibility, who have united with the Lord's church by baptism. And these things are also for me, and they are for you. He says, I want you to learn from me because I am meek and lowly in heart. Are you meek and lowly in heart? Can you honestly, right here where you're sitting right now, say, oh, yes, I am? Why not? Whose fault is it? The most important thing in one of God's churches is for people to believe what Jesus said. He said, after you take my yoke upon you, I want you to learn from me. He said, because I'm meek and lowly in heart. Do you know why some of you have never found any rest into your souls? Simply because you've never learned to look at Christ and to understand the principle of His life and what He preached and taught. So let's take a look at what Paul wrote about Him in Philippians 2, 8 through 11. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death. The surest sign of a meek man is always tied in with humility. And humility and meekness and obedience are always tied together. A man who is meek, a woman who is meek, is willing to be obedient unto death. And yet many consider the ultimate sacrifice to be coming to church regularly. No, the ultimate sacrifice is being willing to be obedient to death. And Christ was. He said, learn of me, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Remember the scripture we talked about just a few minutes ago? The Lord lifteth up the meek. Well, he certainly lifted up this man, and he gave him a name that is above every name. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In all his earthly ministry, Jesus Christ never did anything to draw attention to himself. He always drew attention to the one who had sent him. And he always acknowledged that he himself could do nothing, but that the miracles, the works that he did, the things that he said, they were spoken through him by his Father, and the miracles that he performed were by the power of his Father, and he was a meek man because he was always in obedience to the Father. Moses tried to be, and as far as a carnal sinful man is, Moses is the best Old Testament example we have of meekness according to the Scriptures. And the one thing that marked the actual life of Moses was his continual obedience to God, except in one notable occasion, which I don't have time to go into tonight. Now let's go back above, verses 8 through 11, and let's take a look at the Holy Spirit saying through Paul the same thing he said through Matthew in Matthew 11:29. Two different writers, same Holy Spirit. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I am meek and lowly in heart." Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You weren't born meek, and I wasn't born meek. And you weren't born obedient to God, and I wasn't born obedient to God. And one of the problems in our work in our churches is that many well-meaning people go through an entire lifetime of trying to work for God, trying to serve God, and they never do let the mind of Christ be in them. This is something you have to let happen because you want it to happen. It says, "Let this attitude or mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." The most important thing in your life, and the most important thing in my life, ought to be seeking God's will in our life and diligently striving to find what purpose God has for us in his church. Throughout his entire lifetime, Christ was continually seeking to obey his heavenly Father. And he left you this message through Matthew and through Paul, to look at him, to study his life, to see your shortcomings, your lack of meekness, for me to see my lack of meekness and my shortcomings, to be convicted of it, to confess our own ineptness, and to ask God to help us to be meek in our dealings with one another and with the service of God, and not to have such high opinions of ourselves or our abilities. I want you to notice in verse 13, continuing in Philippians 2, "For, because it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." A person that is meek is interested in God's good pleasure being done in him or in her. A person who isn't meek doesn't like ideas or thoughts or work that doesn't meet with what they think is good. They're not seeking God's good pleasure in their life. They're seeking to get God to accept their concepts and their ideas. So what was it about Christ that made Christ so unique and so meek? Well, in verse 14, he tells you what it means, finally, to have the mind of Christ in you. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. For 20 years I've labored in this church in every way that I knew how by the leadership of God's Spirit, not to let you turn into a bunch of mumbling, grumbling, complaining children. A critical spirit, someone who is constantly seeking to criticize, is something that causes more consternation in God's church than anything else. And it is the direct opposite of a meek spirit. In all his ministry, there is not one recorded case of Jesus ever complaining. He never murmured. He never disputed. In the sense these words are used, gagismon, literally means a silent grumbling and complaining, and dialogismos for disputings means a hotly debated, temper-losing type of argument. I think that in our churches, if we would strive to want to have these things done in our lives, and we would want to be meek, and we would seek God's counsel and the leadership of God's Spirit, I think as each one of us got off our own high horse and acknowledged our lack of meekness, the whole body would function together as a whole. I've seen more churches destroyed by murmurings and disputings, and that is not the mind of Christ, that is not the attitude of Christ, and it is the direct opposite of a characteristic that we call meekness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I'm going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ for meekness. So are every one of you. And it ought to be one of the most important things in our lives to understand what meekness really is. So that when we see how far short we fall, we can go to God in prayer and ask God to help us to see ourselves as we really are and not as we perceive ourselves. God sees us as we really are. We mask over what we are, cover it up, and think it's everybody else that's doing it, but not us. And usually a person that has that attitude and that outlook and that perspective is covering up more of themselves than they realize, and they never really see themselves as God sees them, and they try to palm off on God what they are by looking at everybody else and saying, they ought to be like me. All of us ought to be like Christ. The scriptures indicate over and over again he's to be our example. So if we spent less time looking at one another and judging us ourselves by our own standards, and each one of us would judge ourselves by the life of Christ, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your souls, the whole churches, all the churches would be better off. Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. When you talk about meekness, you're talking about obedience to a higher authority. And there are no exceptions to this. Every one of us need to be more and more in obedience to that higher authority with each passing month of our lives. And each one of us, and certainly I include myself perhaps more than any of you, need to be more and more obedient this coming year than we were in the year before. The more confidence, the more trust we have in Christ and his power and his ability, and the more willing we are to do the work just because we have confidence in what he says and do it for that reason, and then wait on the Lord to produce the results or whatever it takes, the more rest we find in life, and the more we come to understand what meekness is. Meekness is having respect for the power and authority and wisdom and judgment of Christ when it is compared with us seeing ourselves as inept and undone, and more and more drawn to a love of Christ based on our own ineptness. Hebrews 5:8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. When that manger episode in Bethlehem was concluded, God became a man. He was both man and God. And that man increased in stature and wisdom. Luke said so twice. And that man learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Joining one of God's churches is not meant to be a fun and games episode. It's serious. It's a job. It's a responsibility. It's an opportunity. It's a God-given blessing. And in that church, the more we learn to be obedient to the Lord just because He is the Lord, and the more we submit to the will of His Spirit through the words that He speaks and the words that He has written, the meeker we become and the easier the church can accomplish its mission. If you go back through the lives of the various men in history, you'll always find in the lives of these meek men, obey, obey, obey. Obedience and meekness are tied close together. Hebrews 11:8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Abraham was a meek man. He had confidence in the abilities of God. He had trust in the wisdom of God, in the justice of God, in the fairness of God. And when God said something, Abraham obeyed. And Abraham has received an inheritance because of it. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. In our society in which we live today, we want our preachers to be well educated. We want them to go through seminaries. We want them to have degrees. I'm not opposed to all that. I'm all for it. But one of the things that's happened in our work, we have more interest in our own education and less interest in the power and strength of God and more confidence in ourselves than we do in the one who called us into this work. Revelation 21:7. 19:7, 22:14, and 21:23. Very quickly, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Well, who is the overcomer? He's someone who obeys. What is the direct output? The one thing you can always spot in a meek person. He's always obeying a higher authority. That's who the overcomer is. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. You want to inherit the earth and position and rulership on the earth, then you better be an overcomer and you better obey God. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his son, and he shall be my God. Let us be glad and rejoice, and we give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Who do you think Jesus is going to pick out of the churches? He's going to pick out those wives, those men, those women, those people who are in subjection to his commandments, and who made certain that they obeyed Christ because they had confidence in a higher authority than themselves. Verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. In the original text, that says, blessed are they that are washing their robes, literally in his blood. God washed and cleansed your soul eternally when he saved you. But God, by studying His Word, means for you to become more and more like His Son and less like yourself. And when we arrive in heaven, direct access to the tree of life that is Christ, you're going to have to go in through the gates into the city. And heaven is not going to be a communist estate. There are going to be different degrees of rewards, just as there are different degrees of punishment in the hell. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. The glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So what's the purpose of all this? Well, it's 6:30, and I'm finished. The purpose is simply this. I've shown you God's Word. You've looked at it for yourself. I've shown you the lexicon of definition of the word meek. And I've also used God's Word to show you the Old Testament example we have of Moses and the New Testament example of Christ. So having seen that, I ask you this. If you can't look in your heart right now and say, I am just as meek as I need to be, then you need to go to the Lord and ask Him to help you by His power and by His strength to become the type of meek person He wants you to be. If you can say that, oh my Lord, I hope you can't. Because if you really think you're as meek as you need to be, please go somewhere else. Please don't stay here. There's a Missionary Baptist Church over there that's Russellville. There's Shiloh. There's Victory. There's Ola. Don't go. Go there. Don't come here. If you think you're just as meek as you need to be, we don't want you here. Well, I can't speak for the church. I don't want you here. Because there's no hope for you. Because the only meek man who ever really lived and carried out all the commandments his Father wanted was Jesus. And I'll never be like Jesus in this life. Never. But by the grace of God and Jesus Christ, every one of you have an obligation to try and be that way. It doesn't mean to be a wimp. It doesn't mean to be a wimp at all. It just means to be in obedience to God and to realize that you're not quite as smart as you thought you were. That's what meekness really is. As Johnny comes, as Kay comes, we're going to have one stanza of invitation, one stanza only. And I hope you'll consider what you've seen tonight. I know as I worked up this message, I asked myself, are you meek? And my answer was, no. I have high self-esteem. I have great confidence in myself. I'm not meek. But you see, you've got to understand what you are before God can do anything about it. And believe it or not, I want God to work on me. And I do. And I want to be like Christ. I want to be meek. I want to always be in subjection to a high authority. And I don't want to be the kind of person that is always trying to solve all God's problems the way I think they ought to be solved in the church. I want God to solve his own problems. And I just want to be the fellow that he uses. What number, Johnny?
383. 383.